Welcome to episode 1159 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We're going deeper with Jesus.
I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live.
The scene in John 11 is heart-wrenching. Lazarus has died. Mary and Martha, sisters of Lazarus and dear friends of Jesus, are mourning deeply. The house is full of tears, questions, and disappointment.
If Jesus had just gone when the sister sent for him, Lazarus could have been healed. But he delayed, and now we find the people here still in the clutches of grief.
And into this setting, late by earthly standards, but perfectly on time in divine perspective, Jesus arrives. Martha, ever the doer, meets Jesus outside the village. Her words are a mixture of grief and belief.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Yet even in her sorrow, she dares to hope.
But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.
Jesus answers not with platitudes or detached theology, but with one of the most powerful declarations in all of Scripture. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. This is one of the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John, and it stands among the boldest. Jesus doesn't just say he gives resurrection or offers life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. This is not simply a promise of future hope. It's a declaration of present identity. Resurrection is not just an event at the end of time. Life is not merely biological breath. Both are bound up in a person, Jesus Christ. His statement pierces through the sorrow, doubt, and finality that death represents. It reaches beyond the tomb. It declares, I am greater than death. I am the antidote to its sting. I am the life death cannot hold. Notice what Jesus does not say. He doesn't explain why Lazarus died. He doesn't defend his timing. Instead, he gives them himself. Martha wants answers. Jesus gives her his presence, and that is often what he gives us too. In our darkest valleys, he doesn't always provide a detailed roadmap, but he walks beside us as the resurrection and the life. This isn't escapism, it's reality. Because of who he is, our valleys are not dead ends. They are pathways through which resurrection breaks in. Jesus' words hold a double promise. First, they affirm the future hope of resurrection. Though he die, yet shall he live. For the believer, death is not final. The grave is not the end. This is the Christian hope rooted in the resurrection of Christ. Because he lives, we too shall live. But Jesus also speaks of a present assurance. Later, he says, everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. For those who trust in Christ, the promise of eternal life is secure, even though it will be fully realized at the resurrection. The moment we believe, we are united with him in hope and in purpose. Though our bodies may perish and we rest in the grave, we are not forgotten. We grieve, yes, but not as those without hope. For we await the day when Christ will call the faithful from their sleep, and death will be no more. What happens after Jesus declares this truth to Martha? He walks to Lazarus's tomb. He weeps. Then he calls.
Lazarus, come out!
This is not metaphor. It's miracle. The dead man walks out, grave clothes still clinging, breath returned, life reborn. Why did Jesus raise Lazarus if he knew Lazarus would die again one day? Because he wanted to show that his words are not empty. He is not just the Lord of one future day. He is the Lord of every day, every breath, every grave. Lazarus's resurrection is a signpost to a greater one. It foreshadows what Christ himself will do and what he promises to all who believe in him. Let's get deep. Resurrection is not an event. Resurrection is a person. To get deep with Jesus means to move beyond surface religion into radical relationship. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus invites Martha and us not merely to believe in an idea, but to trust in a person. When Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," he is revealing at least four powerful truths. Jesus has authority over death. Death is humanity's most feared enemy. It separates, wounds, and silences. But Jesus stands before death and does not flinch. He confronts it with calm, confidence, and compassion. He weeps, but he also commands. Death obeys his voice. Resurrection begins now. Eternal life is not postponed to heaven. It begins the moment Christ dwells within us. We don't wait to come alive spiritually, we already are, even if our outer selves are wasting away. Belief is the bridge. Jesus does not say, "whoever behaves well," or "whoever understands fully." He says, "whoever believes in me." This belief is not mere mental assent. It is trust, surrender, and allegiance to the one who holds life in his hands. Jesus is enough. He doesn't point Martha to the scriptures or even to a future resurrection event, though both are important. He points to himself. I am. He is the answer, the comfort, the power, the presence, the hope. Sometimes we want Jesus to act like he did with Lazarus, to reverse loss, to resurrect now, to heal immediately. And sometimes he does. But more often, he asks us to trust him, even when the tomb is still sealed. John 11 reminds us that resurrection is a who before it's a what. And if Jesus is near, then resurrection is near, even if the grave still seems full. We live in a tension, the already and not yet. Already we have life in Christ. Not yet have all things been made new. Already death is defeated. Not yet has death been destroyed. But one day, it will be. And until that day, we hold on to the one who is the resurrection and the life. Jesus raises Lazarus, knowing that it will cost him everything. In fact, John tells us, this miracle is what pushes the religious leaders toward plotting his death. In a very real sense, Jesus trades places with Lazarus. He calls Lazarus out of the grave, knowing he will soon enter one himself. But the grave could not hold him. Easter is the fulfillment of John 11, verse 25. The stone was rolled away, the Savior stepped out, and death was crushed underfoot. If Jesus is the resurrection and the life, how should we live? With hope. No matter what dies, dreams, relationships, even life itself, Jesus is greater. He brings dead things back to life. With boldness, we no longer fear death. We serve a king who defeated it. With compassion. Jesus wept with Mary and Martha. We should too. Resurrection people mourn with those who mourn and remind them of the hope we hold. With worship. When we see who Jesus is, how can we not bow in awe? Consider the following. Where in your life do you need resurrection today? Are there dreams, relationships, or parts of your faith that feel buried? What would it look like to bring those things to Jesus and hear him say, "Come out"? Jesus did not merely come to delay death, he came to defeat it. He did not promise we wouldn't face the grave, but he promised we wouldn't stay in it. His voice still calls, his life still flows, his resurrection is still available. So today, may you walk in that truth. May you live like someone who knows the end of the story. May you find comfort in grief, courage in loss, and faith in the face of fear. Because Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live."
Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but has crossed over from death to life.
Father, thank you for sending Jesus, the resurrection and the life. In a world marked by death and decay, help us hold fast to the one who offers eternal hope. When we face loss, teach us to trust in your power. When we feel buried by fear, shame, or doubt, call us out by name. Let our lives testify to the truth that Jesus is alive, and because of him, we will also live. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.